This podcast was initially recorded on the 1st of March 2020 and released on SoundCloud on the 2nd of March 2020. All competition entries for this podcast are now closed.
This is a major spoiler warning. This episode of the podcast will be discussing at length every twist and turn that occurs in Series 12, Episode 10, The Timeless Children. If you have not seen the episode and do not wish for it to be spoiled for you, please do not continue listening to this podcast until you have seen the episode. You have been warned.
Greetings, ladies, gentlemen, and variations thereupon. Welcome back to Terror of the Tweeters. This is, sort of, episode 10.5, in that we have now watched The Timeless Children, the series 12 finale. The previous episode of the podcast we released separately, or the preamble and the discussion beforehand. This is now the review of the episode. So we're now in the day after yesterday, which is very exciting. Very weird to have them as two separate episodes. We've gone 10 weeks not doing this, and now we've done it.
I mean, like I said...
As ever, I am...
Sorry, go ahead.
As ever, I am your co-host, Matt Bob Ross, and interrupting me there was John Ryan.
Sorry. Hello, beloveds.
And this week, we mentioned him in the previous episode. He can now join us from the Bad Wolf podcast. We have Martin.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. We look forward to hearing your thoughts on the finale. First of all, introduce yourself in terms of have you enjoyed the series so far?
Yeah, more often than not, I've been enjoying the episodes. I think there's been a few clunkers, but it's so much better than Series 11. It's kind of reminded me of what Chibnall did with Tortured, whereas the first series is a little bit patchy. There's a couple of good episodes, but... it's a little bit poor. And then the second series, and I know series 3 is like considered critically the best and the fans love it the best, but my favourite is series 2. If I've got 45 minutes and I feel like watching an episode of Torchwood, I'll whack on series 2. Yep. And I kind of feel that with series 12 of Doctor Who, he's done what he did with series 2 of Torchwood, and he's completely turned it around for me.
Learned from his mistakes, and they're still very prevalent, the Chibnall writings, but in terms of knowing what he did wrong, knowing what the fans didn't take to, and amping it up, that's probably why there's been so much continuity in this series.
I just love that last year is like, no continuity, and this year it's just smacking you in the face like a cream pie.
Can't bloody stop.
Last year, no continuity. This year, all the continuity! You have continuity!
Yeah. Late 2019, I did a joke on Twitter, which was, what if Series 12, every episode is a returning monster when Series 11 went without any? And we basically had that.
Pretty much. Most of them, if not, or something like that. As I mean, with regards to returning elements, definitely. So, just a pre-warning, the last pre-warning I think we're going to give, because I'm more than likely going to put one at the beginning of this podcast, we are now about to discuss the Series 12 finale of Doctor Who, The Timeless Children, which means we are going to be talking at length about major spoilers. So consider this
all of them.
Your last utter warning, because we are about to go into some deep, deep shit here.
If you happen to be someone that's going around listening to Doctor Who podcasts, having not watched Doctor Who yet, then, welcome. You're a bit odd, but welcome, nonetheless.
It's kind of like when you've been trying to avoid the World Cup result, so you do it by going into the pub that's just been showing the match and hope nobody discusses it.
Yeah. So, the Doctor is now an immortal, regenerating being from a different dimension. For the first time in a while... we have no idea who the Doctor actually is. And that is very bizarre.
With regards...
it also feels really good as well.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely feels good because Yeah, I mentioned on the previous episode that I mentioned that there was this video that Adam Lanz-Garcia did of basically mentioning to Chris Chibnall Long Barrow and looms and the other and everything, which you absolutely adore. This is basically now an understandable version of it. We basically now have...
Well. As much as I am a subscriber to the other theory, and the Doctor is a re-loomed version of the other, I said in the preamble I wouldn't know how I would react to this until it was confirmed, and I'm so torn on it. I am so divided. It's going to be a bone of contention for the rest of my goddamn life, potentially, but I don't know. In the Doctor being this ancient mythical creature that was instrumental in Time Lord society, I could buy into that when it was just another random Time Lord that got a bit too powerful and had to change himself into the Doctor. Being from a different dimension and being this creator of all regeneration energy, I don't know if I'm a fan of that. I really don't.
On the plus side, though, Big Finish can probably get about 150 ranges out of tonight's episode.
There's so many more. Thing is, we need to now work out which one started calling themselves the Doctor and travelling in a police box for the first time. Because if that wasn't William Hartnell now, that wasn't Joe Martin, God knows what happens there.
Well, with regards to it, I think this episode, proper, when you look into it, because I was looking into it even more so than usual with regards to doing notes, I think there are ideas and elements and even just, you know, show don't tell explanations of how it can all fit together. With regards to it, it'll probably take a while to completely dissect everything, but there would be either theories or explanations in there with regards to how this all can work. But one thing that I like is that he has effectively properly done the Cartmel Master Plan. He's returned the Doctor to this kind of just, you know, unknown entity and everything, shrouded in mystery.
Place of mystery.
Yeah. And with regards to it, we have the origin of the Time Lords and everything, but now we realise they're not important. They're surplus to this entire thing. So with regards to it, you now have the origin of Gallifrey, you have the origin of the Time Lords, you have all of that. And yet, the Doctor is still the mysterious one.
It's an odd place to be in that everything else around the Doctor has now been explained apart from the Doctor. But I mean, it's the point of the show. It's Doctor Who.
Yeah, with regards to it, I think it's really in my personal opinion, I think it should be the only origin that we have. It just came from somewhere, no idea where, no idea who, no idea what the hell even happened there, but that they're now... This is the origin of them in our reality. That's the way I think it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's going to take a lot for me to figure it out in my head if I'm on board with this.
I definitely need another couple of rewatches, but that's mostly because, like, midway through the episode, my 7-year-old daughter decided to sellotape her knees together. So I had to kind of deal with that. So I definitely need a rewatch. And my son hasn't seen the past 2 episodes. So he kept going, who's that? Okay. What's going on? Who's that? And so all day I've been saying to him, let's rewatch the last 2 so that you've got an idea what's going on tonight. But no. So, yeah.
It's like, no, I just want to go straight into it and everything. It's just like, I don't know what's happening here. Why did you let me go straight into it? You said!
Yeah. So I definitely need a rewatch. There's a lot to process. There's a lot to take in. But I love that they've...
At the moment, it feels to me like an episode immediately after I'm going, I'm not sure. But I'll watch it another couple of times and I'll give it a bit of breathing room. And I could come back to it saying, yeah, I really loved it. It feels like one of them. I don't know if it will be, but...
Well, with regards to it, initial thoughts, I think it stuck the landing a million times better than Hellbent did.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
With regards to that, that's not hard. That's not hard.
And I love that they had the Morbius faces in there.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. that grand montage of just the Doctor going back through her own timeline. All the it felt like that bit in the Sarah Jane Adventures when they've got to relive their memories. Sarah and Joe have got to relive their memories to blow up the machines.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, we've got to remember everything to blow up the Matrix. So it was very nice. I wonder how much royalties they're going to pay to people who appeared on screen for split seconds, because there was all sorts of things. All the Doctors, a few old villains. I saw Syl was in there at one point.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch it and see who's there. But you know what? As a piece of entertainment, it entertained me and I really enjoyed it. But I do need to give it a proper rewatch and get my critical brain on, because we are talking about this like literally 20 minutes after it finished.
That's it, yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to gather your thoughts collectively.
Yeah, with regards to that, I loved that sequence and everything. And it's just like, there was a rumor that was going around that was saying that what Chris was going to do was basically make up for all the male Doctors by having all the rest of them surrounding it female. I'm happy that they didn't go down that route, because as understandable as it is and everything, it would still make it a bit limiting.
I was almost expecting that to happen. I was almost expecting something like the scene in Harry Potter when he's fighting Voldemort in the fourth one, and all the dead people appear around Harry and battle Voldemort for a bit.
Yeah.
I was almost expecting like William Hartnell to appear behind her and Ruth Doctor to appear behind her. And Tom Baker comes running in and fights the Master for a bit.
But
but it didn't happen, and I'm kind of on board with some of the ways that they approached it.
Yeah. But
it's so mismatched in my head.
As Martin has said, they've made the Morbius Doctors basically genuine now. I won't say canon, because canon is just subjective completely in the Doctor universe. But basically, the Morbius Doctors now are real. They are existing. They're not Morbius. Yeah. They're actually the Doctor. And it's fixing that and actually giving an explanation, and also showing now how Ruth's Doctor does fit in, because if you've had eight of them, then yeah, there's another five to go somewhere and everything. And just, can we just talk about the fact now that production members of 70s Doctor Who, Bob Holmes, Philip Hinchcliffe, they're now all canonically the Doctor.
Graham Harper.
Like I That's said, Big Finish are going to get so much from this.
I know.
Oh, yes. Well, they've worked with Philip Hinchcliffe a lot before, haven't they? Yeah. For the Tom Baker stuff. So get him in to voice someone.
Oh, yeah. That would be absolutely perfect. That would be brilliant.
Well, I know that he's voicing his Doctor in Babel Colours 10 Doctors Revisited, or whatever it's called, Reimagined.
Ooh.
So I know Stuart has put that on hold, waiting for the outcome of this episode, but now it's going to be back on track.
Because
the Morbius Doctors are now back canon, whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, with regards to it now, I think, yeah, he's had to have watched that and seen what it does, because it now fits in, because Mind Battle and everything is literally growing deeper, deeper, deeper into your mind and everything. And basically, the revelation of that, it just ties in so nicely with that.
Yeah, it does, and I think there was a lot of the references, like there was a reference to the Deadly Assassin in there. There was a lot going on.
Was a Trial of a Time Lord, which he critically panned in front of Pip and Jane Baker, and he's now there just going, I'll sneak this in.
I'll give you this one. Yeah, so it's very much, it felt like an anniversary story.
Despite it being
the end of the dozenth series.
Well, with regards to it, I honestly think it's, I'll go into a bit of explanation later, but I just want to get it off my chest. I feel like this has been, personally to me, my favourite one out of the entire lot so far. I may need to revisit that looking at it, but just the sheer scope and scale of what happened here. I mean, not just with regards to the Doctor's personal history and everything, but just the ongoing plot of everything else, which I'm going to get onto in a minute and everything. But just that grand scope and everything is just, yeah. I'm sorry. This is currently my favorite now. It may change, but this is what I'm like at the moment, and no one is going to take that away from me.
Oh, that's interesting. Because at the moment, my favorite from the series is probably Fugitive.
Yeah, mine too.
Maybe Haunting of Illidan Attic can get up there.
Well, actually,
because Ashad was such a good villain.
Well, the guys doing, they were good and everything. I don't think this is just my favourite in the series. I think this is my favourite finale as well.
Oh, wow.
Yep, I am fucking going there. Like I said, scope.
Half an hour after it finished, you're ready to declare that.
Scope, scale, grandeur, and just me heart beating out of me chest all of the time. I flipping loved it. Like I said, I may have to revisit it because remember, I revisited my opinion of It Takes You Away. This might change.
It Takes You Away.
This might change and everything. But so far, like I said, the one thing I wanted from this episode is to make me happy, and it absolutely did. And I don't care what anybody else says. I don't give a blind donkeys. I loved it.
Yeah. See, that's it. I did enjoy watching it, and I was sat here intrigued and genuinely raptured to find out what was going to happen. And, you know, as much as the payoffs may not have landed, it was all right. I did enjoy watching it, and that's all really you can ask for a Doctor Who. The rest of it is just fan work.
Yeah.
I mean, with regards to it,
I was just going to ask if you guys have checked Twitter yet.
I've checked Twitter, and yeah, there's a lot of differing opinions.
It's like, it
one guy has called it
so
unnecessarily vandalizing the history of the show.
Yeah, I'm not going that far.
With regards to it, a lot of the people I follow who are goodins and everything, a lot of you who are all goodins and everything, you may not get on well with each other, but you're all goodins. I'll be quite honest with that. I follow a lot of you. You're all goodins and everything. You might not be with each other, but who cares? But yeah, there was a lot of differing opinion, but a lot of it seemed to be on the verge of mostly either slightly confused and needing to rewatch it, or positive. But then again, that might be my personal Twitter echo chamber.
Yeah. I mean, I have seen a lot of people saying that it wasn't to their liking, very much as I'm saying, well, I don't know. But I didn't hate it. I just didn't. And it doesn't take away from the history of the show.
Yeah.
It, as much as William Hartnell now isn't the first Doctor, he was just the first one we saw, that isn't a new thing in the show. It's not exactly a massive revelation because it doesn't change what the Doctor's been through. It doesn't change what the Doctor's capable of. It's just adding however many more Doctors they want to cram into that previous life. Because they said that the original Timeless Child went through loads of regenerations for the Time Lords to study her. And incidentally, change of both ethnicity and gender in those regenerations. So they're going all out on that now.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Lester, please be the next Doctor.
Yes, please.
Oh, yes. He would knock it down the park.
Please. Because I was there just thinking the only person we would want more than Adrian Lester to be the next Doctor is Joe Martin. They've now basically said that Joe Martin has been the Doctor. And I hope that they do find some way to address it and everything. Because they confirmed that she is. We still just don't know the details and everything. And that could potentially be something for the next series to look into and everything. But yeah, because of that now...
Oh, can you imagine the outrage if she's the one directly before William Hartnell?
I hope she is. I hope she is.
No.
Please.
I want that
Yes, please. But because of the fact that now it's proven that Ruth's Doctor is basically pre-William Hartnell and there is a genuine and actually good explanation for it and everything, it now just means that yes, Adrian Lester be the 14th Doctor, please. I desperately need this in my life.
Yeah, carry on the Chibnall master plan.
Yes, a fantastic Chibnall master plan.
Yeah, you're on board for it. I mean, I'm not hating it. It was an interesting direction to go, certainly. But yeah, it's all right. I just don't know. I'm going to take a while to adapt.
Well, with regards to other things then, one other quick thing with regards to that entire plot point and everything was the reveal of Ireland being little more than a coping mechanism. Or just...
it was the Time Lords putting an island filter over the Doctor's memories.
So
anybody that looked at them was like, oh, she's just living her normal life in Wexford.
But I mean, yeah, it made a lot of sense then in context and everything, because there was a lot of just little visual cues and everything, and it's just like, yeah, they've basically now, just with regards to that revelation and everything, what was that they call the division? Is that it? Or
yes, because I wrote down one of the jokes of the House of Commons. And John Burke always shouting, "Division! Clear the lobby!"
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's all I think of now when I hear the word division.
Yeah, but with regards to it, essentially, they've just now made a even more secret level of the Celestial Intervention Agency. They basically just...
Yeah, well, that's it. They're certainly a precursor to it, at
least.
Either
a precursor or basically the IMF equivalent of the CIA.
Maybe they are to a UNIT what Torchwood are. So, do you know what I mean? It's kind of what Torchwood is to UNIT, what the Division is to the CIA.
Like I said, the IMF, the Impossible Mission Force, you know, Mission Impossible and everything. You know, basically... the fact that they do all these and everything, and they get completely denied out flat if they get caught and everything. So, yeah, it's just like Spec Ops and everything like that. But, yeah, just, you know...
See, the one thing that I would have done is have that random Time Lord that was talking to them be Gat from Fugitive of the Judoon.
Yeah, I think that might have been the implication, because they were certainly dressed in a similar way with their headpiece and everything.
Just have the same actress.
I think that might be the implication.
You got everyone else back.
Yeah, but, yeah, with regards to that, like I said... I understand now completely why they did it in the first part, so that it doesn't come out of left field and everything. It has a decent-ish explanation and everything. That end scene with it is still chilling as feck. So, yeah.
Was it explained what they were doing, zapping his memories? Was it just zapping his memories so he could go back and be another agent?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
More than likely.
Yeah, or was it forcing a regeneration? Maybe that they still had to force a regeneration, so they could learn more about them at that point. I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, I really need to rewatch it.
Because in regards to it, before that revelation, and then the scenes that were just, you know, the parallels to what Brendan's story and everything. It's just like when I saw that I just had the idea that maybe Koshamus, the old guy, could have been Brendan, because he was giving off a bit of an Irish accent.
I liked him.
I thought he was going to be Rassilon.
I thought he was going to be someone grander and everything, but just the fact that he was the person who just ended this and everything, it was just not a problem. That was just this one simple person and everything, like.
He still could have been Rassilon, sacrificing himself, because he came up in that last moment as very much an ex machina. The Doctor isn't obviously going to blow herself up and all of Gallifrey, but here's this helpful human we introduced earlier in the series reappearing magically.
There could be an explanation. I, however, will still be content if it's just a normal human who just decides to just be, just, you know, self-sacrifice to save the world.
It was a very noble end. Yeah. But we will segue now onto the supporting characters for this episode. Did we give a shit about any of them?
With regards to it, I kind of, and everything, especially with regards to that last bit that we had with them and everything, when they're in the TARDIS and they're actually being, you know, actually acting for once.
Yeah.
because
Yaz got to emote!
Yes.
Yay!
Yes, and everything. And literally, the scene with them and everything trying to hide from the Cybermen, that was terrifying. I gotta be quite honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that bit, I did like hiding inside the Cyberman army. It was very much... I was expecting a joke, aren't you a little short for a Cyberman?
Well, with regards to it, I was half expecting it to go just a full-on twist and have them actually be converted.
Yeah, could have done.
But then you just had the gag with Bradley Walsh. I can't get this thing off my head.
Can't get the helmet off.
Oh, God bless Bradley Walsh. God bless Bradley Walsh. But yeah, with regards to that, I liked the supporting characters for this one, even the guest characters that we've had and everything, because they were also good. Julie Graham could do no wrong.
Julie Graham was good. I thought she was better in the last one. She didn't seem to do much in this one. Which, I mean, a lot of them didn't really. It was very much shunted aside for the main reveals and the main plot. I think I even wrote down in my notes at some point, I'm already bored of the Cybermen, hurry up and get to Gallifrey.
And then they did get to Gallifrey, and then with regards to the main ongoing plot rather than the of the episode rather than the arc, that twist of Cyber Time Lords.
Oh, that the helmets looked fantastic.
Oh, they looked amazing. They looked amazingly terrifying. I mean, I know it's just them in big pompous robes and everything, but you just the revelation of that and everything, you just go like, holy shit. Oh, as in just holy crap.
And they will never be seen again because Koshama blew them all up.
Sadly not and everything, but still they were. It was a good idea. It was a good, stonkingly terrifying idea. I hope it gets to be revisited at some point and everything, but knowing our luck, probably won't.
Wasn't Cyberman Time Lords an idea pitched for one of those 90s adaptations of Doctor Who, one of the animated things?
I haven't a clue. I really don't know. All I just know is that they did do something similar to it before and everything. The Titan Comics.
Oh, there was the comic series. But I think that the animated series, I can't remember who it was pitched by, but in the 90s, it looked very like cel-shaded and all that.
Yeah.
I believe it was one of those that had like Spider Daleks and I think it was American, but I can't remember entirely. I could be way off on this.
Most likely. But yeah, I meant most likely with regards to it being American. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
My memory is not
sorry, that's not my implication. I do apologize. But yeah, no, it's just with regards to that, I just remember it being in that and everything because I just got an urge to just reread that for whatever reason and everything. And it's good. It is really good and everything. But just the idea of Time Lords becoming the Cybermen, it's in that, but this, it's just ramped up to a million.
It did look very nice. And I liked that they introduced more Time Lord colours, because I don't think before we've had Time Lords in all white, have we, as we did have in the flashback sequences. Yeah. They've been all sorts of. They've been purples and reds and greens and
golds.
What, all of that? Gold ushers and heliotrope.
The only white one I think I recall seeing, the white robes and everything, was the president.
So
I don't know if that's.
What was the name? Tek Tay Un. However the hell you're supposed to spell that. Did they become the president then, if they're strolling through with the white robes? Because they were the first one to develop regeneration.
They must have,
maybe.
Must have been, Which, instant, I love that those are back in the series, because I am still partway through my craft project of making one of those Time Lord collars and robes.
Nice.
It's sat over in the corner of my room. The paper mache is drying. I'm excited to have it back. I'm going to paint mine purple.
But you should wear it for each of these.
Whilst I'm recording.
But yeah, with regards to that, other than that, the only other thing I have with regards to the main plot then is just Sacha Dhawan back chewing the scenery as majestically as possible. Mm-hmm. And even he got to do a twist and everything of just literally shrinking Ashad, the lone Cyberman and everything. It's just like, that just came out of flipping nowhere. It's like, it definitely wasn't something I was going to be expecting. I'll be quite honest.
No, because I didn't want it to happen, because it's a massive waste of a fantastic villain.
Yeah, it is a shame with regards to that, but just the episodes that we've had with him now is just like it's proven that yes, they are. He was absolutely fantastic, and if you could find a way to either get him back in some way, shape, or form, or get another Cyberman like them somewhere back in some way, shape, or form, just this utterly deranged thing to just terrify.
Just do it. Just do it all over again.
Just to terrify the shit out of us, or even go completely to that field and make one out of a Dalek. That would be just.
Ooh. That would be interesting.
Just go like that and everything, and just be utterly terrified. Because that's, I think that's a way that you can make the Daleks terrify them, make them even more unhinged. Literally, just like that.
Yeah, give them some proper emotions to play with,
and yeah,
cast an Irishman to play it.
Yeah, and literally just have them become utter fucking sadists. Do that and you will just make them a million times more terrifying. Because with the guys...
See, Chibnall seems to be a fan of breaking down villains and seeing what they're made of.
I mean, with the guys to this, I honestly believe the Cybermen have been the most terrifying that they've ever been. And it's especially prevalent in scenes where they don't say anything. It's just these silent, emotionless, stomping machines ready to just kill and convert and everything. When they're not saying anything, they are terrifying. They're just blank.
Yeah. I did like those scenes where they're hunting through Koshamus's shack to find the rest of the humans. They were very good villains in that.
Now, with regards to it, when I say that they're good when they're silent, this is not a dig at the voice actors or anything, especially Nick Briggs, because he is brilliant, as I've said and everything.
Briggsy!
But it's just that you need the moments of that. You need the moments when they... You need the moments that can make them terrifying when they speak, and the moments that can make them terrifying when they don't.
Yeah. I think the new series get beyond... sort of Russell T. Davies' interpretation of the Cybermen has used them very well, because Russell very much made them sort of generic robots for the sake of it.
Did it?
And that carried on sort of into Series 5 and Series 6. We don't mention Series 7 Cybermen. But then you sort of... Even Missy's Cybermen in Series 8, but then you get to Moffat doing it in World Enough and Time, and they're fantastic.
I mean, with regards to it, it's just looking back on it, whilst I still enjoyed the Cybermen in the earlier ones of the new era and everything, they're essentially just stomping, emotionless, humanoid Daleks. It's just that...
Yeah, pretty much. I think this is my favourite iteration of the Cybermen, what Chibnall's done.
Yeah, because with regards to it, thinking back to Rise of the Cybermen, you just have them stomping around, all in formation, ready to shoot everybody, and just uttering a catchphrase over and over and over again. They basically became the Daleks. But this, they went just in a completely different direction. They did things unexpected, and then they even didn't do things which left us unexpected. So I like the fact that they've done this and everything, and I hope that they keep that style of them going forward. Even with the out,
well, they've built all those bloody suits now. Prop department need to use them somewhere.
Well, not just the external style, but you know, just the performance and everything. If they keep that, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed that we lost Ashad so easily.
Yeah,
I did like the master even saying, "Oh, I should have made that quip."
Yeah.
That was funny.
That's very, very master.
Sasha Dewan is amazing as the master.
He is absolutely brilliant. Just every single time he has been on screen, I have just enjoyed watching him immensely, because he knows exactly what he's doing and everything, and he is utterly brilliant. he has a way of just making scenery chewing 10 million times more terrifying than it actually sounds.
Yeah. My boy from Stockport, he's a Manchester lad.
Go on, the Manchesters.
Big up Manchester.
The Manchester Mathis.
The Manchester Master, yeah. Because, of course, I'm going to play the Manchester Doctor at some point, so we can have him back. Me and Chris Eccleston will team up to combat the Manchester Master. There was a bit when he was absorbing the Siberiad, when he was acting very much like Heath Ledger's Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of... waving his arms around, going, I
completely get where you're going with that now and everything. I never clicked that whilst watching, but it's just like I was still just so just fixed by just this utter display of insanity.
Yeah, I mean, it's such good casting, because you look at his role in other things, in like Line of Duty and Adventure in Space and Time, and he's playing a nice guy in those to an extent. In Line of Duty, he plays a corrupt cop, but he's still trying to be a bit nice. But in Adventure in Space and Time, when he's playing Waris Hussein, he's lovable and he's charming and he's funny and he's sweet. And then you switch to him playing the Master, and he's very watchable, but he's chilling. It's such good casting.
I absolutely hope that we get more back of him, back and everything. But again, they haven't addressed where he is in regards to everything. And just until it's absolutely necessary, I don't think they should. I think they should just have him as the Master. Just, we can make up our own minds up until that eventful day and everything. Just, let's just revel in the fact that we have a fantastically terrifying, hilarious, and scenery chewing Master. Just let's just have that.
He was very breathless in moments as well, very much mirroring Jodie's Doctor.
Yeah, what did you make of her in this episode? I thought she was really good.
Yeah, that can lead us into talking about her. I thought this was one of her better performances. This podcast has previously slightly derided Jodie for being entertaining to watch, but having very little substance behind her. And I think this episode, she knocks it out of the park. Genuinely, I thought she was great.
With regards to one of the things we also went on about is that the fact that the character just changes from episode to episode because of the fact that they don't have a solid fix on what she should be like and everything. This, I think they absolutely nailed, because you see her, that she's that she's nice and bubbly and everything, but you just press her the wrong way and then she just turns into this unstoppable force of rage. And I like it when it when it does that. It felt very, very Tenant, but Jodie adding her own spin to it, which I think was brilliant.
I think I can believe this Doctor turning to the dark side, because it was sort of set up earlier in the series, as much as Series 12 wasn't great at it, she was still very changeable. Go from, like, Can You Hear Me to Villa of Diodati, and then into essentially the Cybermen, and then into this. Her Doctor works. Her Doctor is changing in one direction. She's not bouncing between several different personality types. It's working, and they finally nailed it at the end of her second series. It's like we've got Sylvester McCoy all over again. They took so long to build it up, and now I hope we don't lose this Doctor, because as much as we're wanting the happy and the affable side to her, she's better when she's being angry.
Yeah.
This is how I thought she was going to be when she was announced.
Yeah.
Because I'd only ever seen her in kind of gritty dramas. Yeah. And I kind of thought, she's the woman you get in for a gritty drama. So that's the way I thought she was going to play it. And it kind of threw me off when she was face pulling and smirking and stuff. But yeah, I'm so grateful that they've turned her around for me with this.
With regards to it, I'm hoping that we just get a nice balance and everything. Because with regards to it, she handles the two sides well and everything. The nice, quirky, bubbly personality, and then just this dark, unstoppable, oncoming storm and everything. If we can get both of those to just have a nice, equal balance and everything, I think it would be good. I think that would be...
See, that's, I think, what has bugged me throughout this Doctor's run, in that she has both sides, she's just not able to mix the two together. Tennant was great at that, Eccleston was great at that, Matt Smith was great at that, Capaldi was alright at that until his third series, when he was great at that. And you know, it needs the Doctor to be able to move through both personalities, whereas Jodie, it's like turning a tap on and off.
Yeah,
that's a great analogy, actually.
Or a child in a light switch.
Yeah, it's just she's constantly flitting between so many different personalities trying to figure out what's going to stick, and now they've got it, so just keep going, keep this Doctor, keep this up, and Series 13, you're on to a winner.
But yeah, with regards to that, then I think we've gone over everything. Have we gone over everything?
Oh, I mean, there was a lot. Well,
everything that we can, everything that we got a, you know, a cognitive hold on.
We speculated about whether or not we'd get a trailer for the winter special last episode. We've now got a title.
We had
that Tennant cliffhanger.
The Tennant cliffhanger, which I loved, and I'm going to get onto a bit of that in a minute. But the title, where they've actually properly gone and done it this time, when they didn't do it the last time, we have. What is it? Revolution of the Daleks.
Bum bum bum. Whereas Resolution was just Resolution. Yeah. See, that's you announce that the Daleks are coming back, your viewing figures will go up.
With regards to it, I think it's just the fact that they had all those set filming photos and everything. It's just like they knew it was out there in public knowledge, but just the way that you properly announce it is just you go something of the Daleks, because it's just like that is how you do Dalek story titles. That is how you flip it.
I'm fully expecting Captain Jack to be in the special.
Well, they have also confirmed that all the companions are back.
Yeah,
but
unfortunately,
I think the special is where they go because they filmed it last year, and the only reason you do that is if you're worried about scheduling.
With regards to it, I think that is probably going to be the one where it finishes off and everything, because they've literally just been booted off back home. So I think it's just like having to come to terms to accept that, and then the Doctor bounces back into their life. And throughout the journey, I'd say they just realize that they like what you want, Matt, that they don't need her anymore.
Yeah, that was it. They seemed, I mean, certainly Graham and Ryan seemed more than happy to just leave the Doctor to go and die whilst they went back home. Yaz was the one putting up a complaint, but Ryan was going, come on, Yaz, we've got to fly home. I've got to go play some more basketball.
But with regards to that, that was one thing now that I'm just after thinking about that I liked, because that was a actual callback to Ryan's character, because the scene where he was actually shooting the bomb. It's like it was a callback to the basketball scene from the first episode of this series. It's a callback to the thing that he's revealed about himself, his dyspraxia and everything. And it's just like, for once, he's actually got it nailed on the head and everything. And it's just like, that is character growth. And it's just like,
Here's a reference for you. Have you seen the 1990s Shaquille O'Neal movie Steel?
Heard of it.
The comic adaptation.
I've heard of it.
Well, of course, Shaquille O'Neal is a basketball player. There's a scene in that set up earlier in the movie where Shaq, playing John Henry Irons, tries to throw a basketball and misses the hoop. There is then a scene later in the movie where he's trapped in a room with a grenade and notices a hole in the chain link fence above him and has to throw the grenade through the hole to save himself. And that's what reminded me of it. I mean, it's an odd reference to make a superhero movie from the 90s with Shaquille O'Neal.
Which is so hilariously bad from what I've seen.
I mean, it's fun, but it's not great. It's a 90s comic book
movie. It's so bad, it's good. Yeah,
it's one of them. But that's what it felt like for Ryan. It felt like, well, you've kind of got to answer the dyspraxia thing because you've not done it all series. But the best way that it was handled was him playing the piano slightly wrong in Diodati.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's the only time it's been done.
But I mean,
well,
with regards to that, it's just like, this is a callback. This was nice and everything, but it's something that I think should have been done last series. This is something that should have been addressed last series rather than now and everything. And as much as Chris is after getting a lot of stuff right in what he's learned between series 11 and series 12, there are still some issues going forward. So series 13 is basically his final shot now to prove that he can take the genuine criticisms that there still are and make sure that they've worked upon. Because if these mistakes still keep happening after three series, it's just like, okay, I think we might need to consider looking at getting some actual structure in.
Hire some bloody script editors.
Exactly. But yeah, no, like I said, with regards to it, even what you've said, Martin, is something that we've said. We've been comparing these two series to the first two series of Torchwood. Series 11 and of this and Series 1 of Torchwood was the testing ground. What worked, what didn't, learn from that. This one has been immensely better. There are still issues, but it has been immensely better. But it's just like, you still have one or two that you need to learn going forward.
At least he's learning. Yes.
I'm happy with regards to that, and that's why I'm still accepting, for want of a better word, accepting these small mistakes, with the hope that he will fix them for next time, now that he's learned that actually taking on constructive criticism will help and everything, and just learning what to do and what to fix.
I will say there weren't the usual myriad of Chibnall cliche errors in here. There wasn't a ticking clock countdown. The finale wasn't rushed into 5 minutes. The companions were quite nicely balanced, and even the guest stars were all right and had their moments. So it was odd. I don't know if I prefer it to Ascension of the Cybermen. I definitely don't prefer it to Spyfall, I will say. But it's as Chibnall scripts go, there is a lot of potential in there, and there is a lot of potential fulfilled. So from that basis, it's practically gold fucking star.
Well,
faint praise indeed.
Oh yeah, it is damning with such faint praise. But I mean, I've enjoyed watching this series of Doctor Who, and it's not going to change that. However many errors I can look into and analyse, and Andrew Ellard's tweet notes are evidence that you can pull these scripts apart at a molecular level.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed everything, and I mean, Orphan 55 aside, I have enjoyed the series.
I mean, with regards to it, just like, it's a lot of stuff that we're going to be going into next week, definitely. But just one thing, Series 11, it was definitely a testing ground. It had a lot more duds than normal. This one, the only real dud for me. I know that other people are going to have different opinions, but the only real dud for me was Orphan 55 in hindsight, because all the rest of them, as
same
with the issues that they have, they still, I do believe they still got a lot right. They do still have issues, but I do think all the rest of the episodes definitely got a lot, if not the majority, right.
Yeah, I remember saying at the end of series 11 that as much as I wasn't enjoying the stories, I enjoyed the general direction of the series and the general push that Chibnall had put into it. Whereas now, I'm enjoying both. So they've got that going for it. And this episode, it's going to go down in the history books, liked and hated by the fans. It's going to be very Marmite. But, I mean, I'm on the fence. I'm prepared to like it. It just needs more time to sink in.
Well, with the regards to it, like I said, it's something that needs to be addressed with the next one, that there's still a small handful of mistakes there that need to be addressed. If they're not addressed, then it's like you've just negated everything that you've learned between the last series and this one. So with regards to it, there's been good progress made. I hope that they don't start just gorging on it, thinking, oh, we're the dog's bollocks and everything. So, yeah. But yeah,
that's it. They could go into series 13 just doing all of this again, thinking, we're the best. We can do everything now. We'll repeat these scripts. And
No, don't.
I mean, there's improvement to be had, but
What I want is a balance between the last two. Because the one thing that I liked about series 11 is that they just tried to do it in a completely new direction. If you keep that kind of ideology, like always trying to make sure that there is something new, that there's something fresh. If you keep that ideology and try and mix it in as best as you can with the continuity and everything, but don't go too overindulgent on the continuity and everything, because you can literally just go full on with that and everything, and it's just like. Bleh. If you can get a good balance between the last two series for series 13, I will be happy. Get that good balance, get the mistakes fixed, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm on board with whatever they do next. They just need to put a bit more legwork in and tie it together. And it'll be very much the Sylvester McCoy era again.
Where were the guys?
Hopefully not cancelled.
Yes, indeed. Well, with regards to it, looking to what's happening in the future and everything, that final reveal of the Jejun just stomping back in and suddenly we're in prison!
She's on Shada.
Yeah, oh. I was just thinking that is like, oh, this...
It was an asteroid prison planet. It's obviously going to be Shada. This is very Shada.
Well, with regards to it, just the one other idea is that it could be Storm Cage.
True, they didn't ever establish where Stormcage exactly. was.
Well, yeah, it's just that it could be Stormcage, and they could try and tie back into that. But if it's following this, and especially with regards to the Jadoon and all the connection that they had with Fugitive of the Jadoon, it's going to be Shada, and I would love if it's Shada, and just Chris also just going and finally establishing, right, I am sorting this out as well. Please, just, yeah, that would be brilliant.
Well, if it's Stormcage, then they get to bring back Space Racist bloke from Ooh. Rosa.
Oh, yeah. He's probably in there.
Potentially, yeah. Well,
where was Jack? Where was Captain Jack?
We
thought he was going to be in this episode.
I think he's in the special.
Yeah, with regards to it, I think he's pretty much in the special because we discussed on the previous section and everything the behind the scenes, you know, challenge that they did and everything. And just the fact that you literally saw and heard John Barrowman there, and they were wearing completely different stuff to what they were in both Fugitive of the Jadoon and the finale. So, yeah, we're going to have Jack Harkness back in the special. I'm just going to be so happy, just absolutely. And just if they could do that to finally address Torchwood in the series, that would be nice, I'll be quite honest.
Yeah. I'll be happy with that.
But anyways, I think we'll leave it there because if we go any further, we probably won't have a lot to discuss over for the next episode, our big big finale bonanza and everything. But yeah, with regards to that, I've already said my piece. I loved this episode. I'm probably going to need to give it a rewatch in order to get a more formed opinion on it. But so far, it's not only my favourite out of Series 12, I think it's also my favourite finale with regards to the scope and the grandeur and everything. I know it's a big statement to make and everything, but damn it, I'm going to.
Well, do you now prefer Ascension of the Cybermen, now we know the answers? Because we both said last week we weren't sure of it because we'd need to know how it ended.
Yes, I'm okay with Ascension of the Cybermen, as with regards to what they've led up with regards to this and everything. Everything that Ascension of the Cybermen presented had an answer. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with that as well.
Like, it was all the build up, lead up, and everything. It's like a lot of it had to be answered. There were questions that were ongoing from the entire series that still have to be answered, but everything that was self-contained in this story was answered. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's it. I can see why people would love it. Didn't entirely land for me. But I'm ready for to have my opinion changed in a couple of rewatches. I'll give it some time to settle in.
Any final thoughts, Martin?
I enjoyed it a lot, but I definitely do need to give it a rewatch. There's a lot of stuff that you've said that I didn't quite pick up on the episode. So it'd be good to go back, rewatch this tomorrow with a fresh mind and truly evaluate it. But as a piece of entertainment, I enjoyed it. It really entertained me. And I can't wait for Revolution of the Daleks.
I know. So with regards to that, after what I had said, answering all the questions from Ascension of the Cybermen and everything, it's time for the prelude to the last answer, because we have the final question in our podcast competition, where you can win that fantastic steelbook, which I actually even sent a question to the BBC Doctor Who Twitter feed, BBC Studios, and even Luke, asking if they knew that. And they gave me an answer. It wasn't a full answer, but at least they actually took the courtesy to answer me and everything. So,
Oink Creative, wasn't it?
Whoever it is at Oink Creative that came up with that design, thank you. You are an absolute treasure, and I hope we get to see more of your work, because that looks absolutely
it's very good looking steelbook.
It looks amazing, and please, I hope the name of whoever it is gets revealed, because your name just deserves to be up in headlines just saying fantastic, just an utterly proper artist. Please do, because I just want to scream that from the rooftops, and I just want to just find all the rest of the stuff and just Google over how many prints I want of them. But anyways, yes, the final question with regards to our competition, and basically once you hear it, it means that the entry will now be open. You will be able to send it in and see if we actually get entries that actually can give this thing away. So with regards to that then, the final...
It's like on the X Factor. Lines are now open.
So here's the question. Ascension of the Cybermen and the Timeless Children has reinforced a reference made in stories prior about Gallifrey being located in Ireland. But in which classic series story do we first hear the idea of Gallifrey being a place name in Ireland? In which classic series story do we first hear the reference of Gallifrey being in Ireland?
It's a good question. So, if you want a chance at winning the Series 12 Steelbook, the Amazon exclusive lovely artwork, find the questions that we have asked in episodes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and now 10 of Terror of the Tweeters. Find all the questions, work out all the answers, send an email to terrorofthetweeters@gmail.com with your name and your contact details, and the entries close on the 6th of March at 11:59 p.m.
So, terrorofthetweeters@gmail.com, subject heading competition, get them in before 11:59 p.m. GMT on Friday, the 6th of March, 2020. With regards to that, we are going to be recording our final big bumper bonanza finale literally the day after. And I am going to find a way to record the reveal of the winner.
Good luck, everyone. Indeedy.
But yeah, with regards to that then, Series 12 is done.
What are we going to do with
our Sunday nights now?
What are we going to do?
I'm going to go have a bath.
Yes, but yeah, that's essentially it for us from our regular episodes. Like I said, we are going to be back with one last big bumper finale bonanza, where we are going to be joined directly by one third of the Review of Death and Doctor Who on Twitch host and star Matthew Toffolow. Which Matt is. You can hear it there, but you know inside he's just squeeing in joy. He knows why.
My boy, Matt.
And then...
Thing is, that's going to be awkward for you, having two people called Matthew to talk to on the show.
Oh, that is indeed. That is indeed. I have not thought about that.
Oh, God. We need to find... I'm trying to think of Doctor Who fans now that I know called John.
With regards to it, it makes a change from the confusion that I have, because in the convention that I work at, there's actually two people on the committee called John Ryan.
Oh,
that's fun. That is so much fun.
It's a common name in Ireland.
Yes, it is. It's very common. Very common.
Yeah. Well, Matthew is a very common name. When I was in primary school, I was one of four Matthews in my class. So it's very common. But yes, we will return next week to announce the winner of our competition and to just give our views on the series as a whole. Speak about stuff that we've not spoken about in this episode.
With regards to that, we are going to be getting the lovely thoughts of not only Matthew, but also Martin and all of the guests that we have had on the series prior. We are going to be getting their thoughts and their
all of the guests that still email us back.
Yes, don't worry, a lot of them have. A lot of them have. But yes, we're just going to get some thoughts on just the series as a whole now, what we liked, what we thought could be improved and everything, and where we think we could go in the future. So that is all still to come in our big bumper finale bonanza next week and everything. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, Series 12 of Doctor Who is now done and dusted. We are going to be back next week and just discussing the hell out of it now in retrospect. and just seeing where the TARDIS will take us next. Until then, Martin, thank you very much for joining us and for...
Thank you for having me.
And Cy, for keeping you from doing your 10th anniversary session and everything. So I do apologize.
It's all right. I just want to clarify that my moving house has got nothing to do with you guys.
Not a problem. And sorry for nicking Chris the other day and having to have you delay that as well and everything.
It's all right.
With regards to it, we're going to post the Bad Rule podcast, the link in the description as well, for the second week in a row and everything. So
thank you.
So we have to. But again, with regards to that, that is that done and dusted. Join us next week for one final round around this series. Until then,
here we go again. Thank you for listening, everyone. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
You have been listening to Doctor Who, Terror of the Tweeters, The Timeless Children, The Day After Yesterday, recorded on the 1st of March, 2020. Your hosts were John Ryan and Matthew Ross, and our guest host was Martin Havel of the Bad Wolf podcast. More of Martin's work can be found in the description. The theme music was the theme tune from Doctor Who Confidential, composed by Ron Grainer, realised by Delia Derbyshire, and arranged by Mike Westergaard. Rock the Boat was composed by Pascal Michael Steifel. Hot Pursuit was composed by Kevin McLeod and is used under a Creative Commons license. Any and all copyrighted material is the registered property of their respective owners, utilized under the Fair Use Agreement, and no infringement is intended.